As we inch towards the end of 2024, what travel goals do you have that you haven't yet met?
And furthermore, what travel goals do you have for 2025?
While we always have a healthy dose of national park travel on the horizon in any given year, this year I'm definitely planning to visit friends in Europe.
And don't forget, we have a pretty incredible trip to Iceland coming up this December, so we're both bound for European shores.
That's right, and thankfully, there's one travel guidebook company we can always look toward for all our travel needs.
From our hikes, to hotels, to the best spots to eat, Moon Travel has you covered.
From excellent first-hand experience from authors who are local to the areas they're writing about, to wonderful maps and great recommendations, Moon Travel Guides give the reader so much more than other travel guides on the market.
That's right, and we are so excited that this year we are again partnering with Moon Travel Guides.
Through this partnership, through the end of 2024, our listeners can get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when they use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's code GAZE24, GAZE24, for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library. Head to our show notes and check it out to see Moon's entire collection of guidebooks and also see it at moon.com.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips, but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel Guides has you covered.
Head to moon.com before December 31st, 2024 and use code GAZE24, again that's GAZE24, at checkout to open up the world of possibilities for your next trip.
Moon Travel, let your heart be your compass, let Moon be your guide.
Deceit.
Mm-hmm.
Trickery.
Mm-hmm.
Fallacies.
Yeah. Stop talking about the 45th president.
Sometimes that happens on trails.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find that it happens the most inopportune time.
Yeah.
Whenever one is the most tired.
Right.
And the hungriest.
Yeah.
And always somehow like in direct sun beaming
yep.
down.
Always.
I don't know why that is.
With incline.
With incline. The trickery is
yeah.
real.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there have been so many trails that we've been on where we've had these like false endings. It's like the Return of the King. There's three different endings in the Return of the King in Lord
three.
Of the Rings. Oh, my God.
More like seven. I was ready for that thing to be done.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of closing
endings.
Moments that just feel like
And I'm like,
it could
oh, great. So,
end.
And now we're here at a yeah. dock watching yeah. a boat pull away. Yeah. And now we're here at a house. Now yeah. we're here somewhere else. Now yeah. there's the feast. Yeah. What is happening?
Yeah. I know. So, yeah, I do feel like we've been on trails like that where it feels very Return of the King-esque.
Like you feel like you're reaching the end.
You're right to the end.
Not there.
No.
It's not the end.
It is out of reach. In
out
fact.
Of reach.
Yeah. And it always hurts, I think, the deepest. I think it is like one of the deepest cuts is like a trick on a trail where it's like, no, 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 no. You've got to do this now.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Father, you'll follow you there.
At the national park.
Father, you'll follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and exploring the land also known as Olympic National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lower Elwha Klallam, Jamestown Skalum, Port Gamble Skalum, Skokomish, Quinault, Ho, Kulit, and Makah people.
All right, so last we left off, we had started the hike and gotten to about the midpoint of the Klahani Ridge Trail Loop, is what we're calling it. This was a trail that had been recommended to us because we could not drive to Hurricane Ridge and hike in that area. But from hiking Klahani Ridge, we could get up to essentially Hurricane Ridge if we wanted to. But we would also just get to experience the majesty of the views if we didn't want to zip over to Hurricane Ridge, which would have added like extra 6 miles onto our day.
That's right. Right. So Klahani Ridge is a ridge that people hike all the time because of the view this one gets of the Olympic Mountains. We wanted to do this. Typically, it is accessed by the Hurricane Ridge parking area, and there's a trail called the Hurricane Ridge Trail that people take out to a T. It comes to a T with the Klahani Ridge Trail, and people hike on the Klahani Ridge Trail. So we wanted to get on there, but since the Hurricane Ridge parking area was closed, we couldn't access the trail from that end of the trail.
Right.
So we had to do a long loop, which brought us from the parking lot up the Lake Angeles Trail to Lake Angeles, and then put us on the Klahani Ridge Trail all the way up to the end of the Klahani Ridge Trail that intersects with the Hurricane Ridge Trail. So this is where we were starting on this day.
Right. So last we had left off too, we had seen some trails in the distance. We weren't really sure. We were most likely pretty sure that that was not what we were going to be hiking. But at this point, we were also deceived by distance. So we were kind of like, I guess anything is possible here.
Because we thought that we were going to be reaching the halfway mark at 6.2 miles. And we did not reach the halfway mark until 7.3 miles.
Right.
And we thought, oh, okay, well, maybe, you know, just the map is wrong. Sometimes maps are wrong. Sometimes distance is a little off. So we thought maybe that's just the deal. Or the pedometer is wrong.
True.
So there we go.
So at the juncture point, we do see some other hikers, and they had done the trail counterclockwise, which was not what was recommended to us. It was recommended to go clockwise. And they said that they saw us in the parking lot by the trailhead, and we thought it was wild that we had both arrived at quote unquote the halfway point at the same exact time.
Right. That was wild.
It was kind of strange. So at this moment, as Dusty had said, the pedometer said that we had gone about 7.3 miles. Which was a whole mile beyond what the map had said. And we know that sometimes there's some inaccuracy that's happening. Sometimes parts of maps are more accurate than other parts. So we just kind of were like, chalked it up to the fact that, all right, we did an extra mile we didn't anticipate. We're going to just do what we need to here. So we talked to this group a little bit longer, and then we bid farewell, and we start the fourth leg of this epic sweeping hike, which we'll call the Long Sweeping Valley.
So we look at the trail before us, and lo and behold, it is, in fact, that long trail that we had seen in the distance heading toward those switchbacks, which, honestly, at this moment, knowing the section we were about to do, which was just this kind of like long extended flat section, that looked really fun.
Sure.
And I was excited about that.
Yeah.
I was like, I know this is eventually leading to switchbacks. This is what it looks like, but maybe there's this other thing I'm not seeing.
Sure.
Maybe we don't have to do those switchbacks.
Right. Yeah, maybe, maybe.
Maybe. So we set off.
Betcha it's sweet. Betcha it's kind.
Yeah. We set off on this long sweeping section, and it begins with decline, which is a really lovely
break from incline.
It was such a lovely break from incline because this trail up into this point was just like, surprise, more incline.
Right.
You thought you were done?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not at all.
I mean, we did, once we were on Klahani Ridge, it was not as extreme an incline. Like, once we had gotten to, like, the viewpoint where we ate,
we
were a little flatter.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, basically up until that point where we got lost and we're like, oh, is this the ledge we need to go off on? That was all incline to that point. So we flattened out, and yes, the decline here, it was slight, but it was a nice relief.
This trail is literally going along like the slope of this mountain ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going straight across the side of this ridge, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just like green in so many different places. It is picturesque in so many ways. Gorgeous. Like the kind of like long sweeping hike you would want out of this kind of landscape.
Right. It's not a very wide trail, though. So it's maybe a foot wide. So it's definitely like, watch your footfall here. And it was basically about a full mile from the juncture point to the base of the switchbacks.
And alas, we have to do the switchbacks.
Yeah, we do.
So we arrive at the switchbacks finally, and we look at them. And I mean, it's like looking straight up at them.
It was kind of the wildest because you're also in between. It felt like a bowl here almost between these two outcroppings of rock. And the switchbacks were all very sandy looking, like it had this just loose look to it.
And from below, it looks like we're going to have to do at least, I think there's at least 10 switchbacks. Mm-hmm. So we take a look at this and then we have to just immediately start this grunt up these switchbacks.
Yeah.
So how did you feel in this moment grunting up these switchbacks? Because you were in front of me. And I was behind you.
So like a trail like this is always one that gives me energy, even if I'm tired, because there's so much to see. There's so much to be enamored by. And I think having had the break of being flattish and then on decline helped me to kind of mentally get over the hump of what we were going to have to do here. It was daunting for sure. I wasn't the most thrilled about it, but I was like, all right, hopefully this is the end of our incline after this point, because I can't imagine that we aren't going to start declining. We have to.
Well, we will have ascended to what seems and feels like the highest point of this trail so far. So thus, one would imagine that hopefully, like once we get to the saddle, that it's all just downhill from there, literally.
Yeah. How about you? How are you feeling?
I was initially nervous, because from further away, they looked so much harder and so worse.
We'll talk about perspective.
Right. And then we got there and I was like, all right, I feel like we've done switchbacks that are like this before. I think we can do it. So it was just one of those things, like I had to mentally get myself into a place of, I'm going to do this and let's just get it done as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Let's note that like the actual trail for one's feet here on these switchbacks is 8 inches.
Yes, I mean, very
it is
narrow.
Nothing.
Yeah.
It was nothing. And it was like 1 foot in front of another. And I think we just both went into like quiet focus mode.
Absolutely.
Where we were like, we're just going to do it and we're just going to keep going and we're not going to talk about it. And we're just going to like,
right.
So at the end of it, and I mean, it was a very, very steep, very hard grunt to get up to the top.
And it
of that
also
saddle.
Just felt like, oh, this looks like it's the last switchback. No, it's not. It also was, oh, you are in direct high sun at this point, like midday sun shining down on you. There's no shade, like
that's
completely
exposed.
The endurance challenge was there in a few different ways.
The one relief was that there was a breeze happening at this time. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as brutally hot as it could have been.
Right.
So we do it. We both get to the top. I'm struggle busing the whole way. But
gracefully doing it.
Please. Struggle busting the whole way. I get to the top and it's like I wanted to collapse.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I was thinking at the time was, I was like, this is the end of the incline.
Right.
This is the end. I can get to the end. I'm looking at the top of the saddle. I can get there. Yep. And then we are done.
Yep.
And at the end, there were a total of 12 switchbacks. Mm-hmm.
Not 10.
And when we looked at the time, it only took us 15 minutes.
I mean, we hauled ass.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah. So we hit the top of the saddle here. And this is, again, an incredible view because it's giving you 2 vantage points now. And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey, y'all. It's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! During the months of November and December, we are highlighting the work of Native Like Water in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Founded over 24 years ago in San Diego, California, Native Like Water was launched to focus on and practice with indigenous sacred relationships to water. Native Like Water programs work towards solutions and sustainability of our life force. The organization prepares and reintegrates teens and young adults into ocean recreation, conservation, wellness, and intergenerational cultural self-exploration.
With programming like Youth Native Scholars, YNS, and Intertribal Youth, ITY, Native Like Water has helped to develop and implement academic, wellness, and cultural programs for Native American, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians, as well as youth from various nations. Native Like Water has programming which is open to a greater public, curating cultural experiences through an indigenous lens with a focus on cultural conservation and natural habitat.
Native Like Water is committed to not only education, but also working to enrich the lives of others. Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help support Native Like Water this November and December. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information or by visiting www.nativelikewater.org. All right, so we're playing Almost Before, During, and After. Mm-hmm.
We are.
Okay, Before, During, and After is a category from Jeopardy where it's in three parts and each part shares a word.
Right.
So if I were to say this TV show about Blanche Dorothy, Sophia, and Rose, along with this very famous Cyndi Lauper hit, and then a kind of like attraction you'd see at a carnival.
It would be Golden Girls Just Want to Have Fun House.
Exactly. Right. And so that's an example of a before, during, and after. But this is an almost before, during, and after, which means that the answers don't have to perfectly...
They're not clean. Necessary.
They're not clean. Yeah. They don't match perfectly.
Right.
And that's the point, is right. that they don't match right. perfectly. All right. So here is my first one.
Great.
This is what you might call... a mattress that's between a full and a king. A character who has a short little bobbed hair and a little red dress from the 50s. And she's always going like, ooh. And this song by Britney Spears off of her second album. That was also the title of her second album.
Wow, you really delivered some hard Jeopardy here. Can you give me the sound effect again?
Ooh.
All right. So is it, so I'd imagine mattress has to be a part of the first one.
Mattress isn't. Oh. I said mattress.
Okay.
In place of this other word I didn't
queen
want to
bed?
Say.
Okay.
Correct.
Queen bed. I'm trying to think of the character from the, Queen Betty Boo. I did it again.
There you go. But we got to have an S. Oops. So queen size Betty Boops. I did it again.
There it is.
There it is.
Great. Okay. Here's my first one. These four sisters from the book Little Women with this Central Park water feature with an angel on top of it, with the preferred way that you would get a soft drink if you could.
Okay. So it's... It's like, God, I'm struggling to remember their four names.
No.
It's like Marmy, even it's though that's Marmy. Mom. No, it's like Lizzie.
No.
Really?
No, Lizzie.
Oh, hold on. It's Joe, mm-hmm. another sister, and Bethesda Fountain Soda.
There you go. It's Amy, Meg, Joe, Bethesda Fountain Soda.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Amy and Meg, I never remember. Okay, great.
Forgettable.
Okay, great. Here, I've got another one for you. This hit song by Sting about glens covered in yellow flowers, along with this dog breed that is just so cute and beautiful at all times and comes in a variety of shades, as well as this place where Marie Antoinette lived.
What is
Sting song?
Fields of Golden Retrieve Versailles.
Correct. There you go.
All right. So this 1970s disco song that's typically used for montages where groups of people might be cleaning automobiles, with this phrase that is often used with shampoos or conditioners to explain how you use them, with this partially decomposed ground covering that is often used as a fertilizer.
Okay, so I've got, I think, the second, or the number two and number three, which I think is rinse and repeat moss.
Right, but you're missing the first word from that phrase that's the second one.
Oh.
What would you do? What's the overarching thing that one would do? It's a three-part phrase, or three-word phrase.
Rather than...
Blank, rinse, and repeat.
Well, rinse and repeat is three words. I'll just say that. So it's a four-word phrase.
It's a four-word phrase. Mm-hmm. Semantics.
Is the first song Yakety Yak?
It's not.
Okay.
If you're cleaning automobiles, what would that song be?
It's Working at the Car Wash, Rinse, and Repeat Moss.
There you go.
There we go.
There it is. You got it.
And that is almost before, during, and after. Okay, so we've just finished this beast of a set of switchbacks, and now we are at the top of the saddle. And it feels like we are finally, we have crested over the final ridge, and now we're going to start heading downwards, decline on the Heather Park Trail.
Yep.
Because this is technically considered the Heather Park Trail all the way from the juncture point. So all the way across the side of the mountain ridge, mm-hmm. up the switchbacks, we're still on Heather Park, and we're going to be on Heather Park all the way back to the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were thrilled because we had made it over what felt like the most difficult part of this trail, and now it was going to be smooth sailing.
Right, exactly. Because that's exactly what this trail has handed to us the entire time. Nothing but smooth sailing and no incline whatsoever.
But what have we learned from this trail?
There's always more incline.
There's always more incline.
Yeah.
There is always, and alas.
Yes.
There was more incline.
Yeah. This does start, however, with a pretty steep decline, but the incline does come back pretty quickly. The switchbacks took us from the east side of the ridge to the west side of the ridge, and now we're hiking up and down along the west side. This was a very interesting section, very different from the rest of what we were seeing. First of all, we had a very big sweeping view off into the distance.
On to see a different section.
But we are now
landscape
along like an edge of a cliff, like basically the entire time.
Like a fin,
yeah,
almost.
Essentially, yeah.
When we had chatted with the other hikers that were doing this trail counterclockwise, they had mentioned scree rock. So we knew that there might be some scree that we were going to encounter up here, and they said, you know, just be careful of the scree rock. And we don't see it right away. But then after about a mile and a half of up and down, we do finally get to the Scree Rock. Now, what is Scree?
Scree is essentially loose. It feels like gravel, but it can be larger stones, flat stones. We experienced it, if you listen to our episodes for Chimichi Root in Black Canyon and the Gunnison from season...
Before this season.
Early.
Yeah.
That entire trail was hiking up Scree. So it's loose. It can be tricky sometimes because your feet can not necessarily plant solidly. So you're just basically have to be more careful with your footfall.
Yeah. You do.
For the trail. Like,
yeah.
So.
I find that hiking in Scree often means rather than one foot in front of another, it's one step and match.
Yeah.
And then one step and match.
Yeah.
So in the distance, we can see what we have to do. And it is pretty far up.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you feeling in this moment?
Great. Great. I just am like, I think this is the point that broke me a little bit. I was like, the only thing that I know, because we had talked about it, was we're going to get Wendy's.
That's
when we get down.
Right.
This was the only thing that was like giving me light, because I was like, now I'm kind of pissed because this trail, which has been, first of all,
kind of pissed.
One of my favorite trails that we've ever done. It has the very big feel of the South Rim Trail in Big Bend. It's got the feel of Sliding Sands in Haleakala. It is epic and sweeping and wonderful, but it really was relentless when it came to the incline. And so I think I just was so aggravated that we still had to go up. And I like incline. If, you know, we look back at all the history has said in this show, decline is not typically my favorite, but this was, I was at my wit's end at this point.
Yeah.
And how about you?
Oh, I was mad.
Mm-hmm. You were cussing.
I was cussing. Mm-hmm. No, but we were like, when we get off of this trail, we will have plenty of time to go to Wendy's and get delicious food. And that was what we planned
to
do.
That was the plan. Yeah.
So looking up, and it was just like, oh my God, I thought we were done with this. When you prepare yourself for being finished with incline.
Yeah.
When you are not finished with incline and then faced with not just a little more incline, like quite a bit more incline. Yeah. Sucks. It sucks real hard.
And I also just want to paint this picture of, this is incredibly different from the switchbacks. Like, this is an ascent that's going to be a real bitch, like, to put it lightly. Because the switchbacks, even though it was narrow and it was sandier, it was not loose gravel like this. No.
No. And often with Scree, and not so much here, but sometimes you'll like take a step and your foot sinks a little bit. The Scree here was like, it moved a little bit.
Yeah.
There was a lot of it, but it moved a little bit. So, but we can see that after the Scree coming up, literally we're looking up, like this pathway is heading up into the air toward the fin. And essentially what we're going to have to do is cross over the fin of this ridge again to then begin what?
Our hopeful descent.
Hopeful descent.
So we do make this slog, and it takes us some time here. You know, it's not an easy jaunt up.
The angle here was really, this was 45 degrees at some time.
Yeah.
At some points. I mean, and this was like, breathe heavily.
Right.
One foot in front of another.
Right.
Just like power. And
it was also like, take the brakes when you could.
Yeah.
Find a spot to like stand
and just
not
take a moment.
Slide.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you were having a little bit of trouble just because you had fallen the day before. And
that's true.
You know, there was like a little bit of repair work on
this
knee.
This was so tough. This was like in my bones tough.
Yeah.
And like felt this incline in my stomach muscles the whole way. So you make it to the top first.
Mm-hmm.
And confirmed from up there, you were like,
downhill.
It looks like it's all downhill from here. And I was hesitant to believe it.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay, because every step was motivated by Frosties and French fries.
And with that, let's take our second break. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
L'Oreal
Pacino.
Was she a queen from our list? I don't remember her.
Yeah, she's the queen from our L'Oreal Pacino.
L'Oreal. Oh, L'Oreal
now
Pacino.
You get it.
There
L'Oreal
she is.
Pacino. There you got it.
Yeah.
Yep. L'Oreal Pacino.
It's true.
So who is L'Oreal Pacino?
Well, I think she's a makeup heiress.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, but with a hoo-ah streak to her. I mean, she's got to be if she's Al Pacino.
Or inspired by Al Pacino.
Inspired by Al Pacino.
See, I feel like she is like the drag daughter of Al Pacino.
Oh, okay.
And has like gotten some of his best qualities.
Okay.
But it's also like a makeup expert and a makeup mogul.
Actually, I think what's happening is drag daughter of Al Pacino, but does YouTube makeup tutorials.
Oh.
And that's where we get her fame from. That's how she started. And
got
then
it.
She has become a queen in her own right.
I like it. I think she has a makeup line.
Yeah.
So her merch is not just little merch things that she sells at shows. She's like a YouTube queen, and she has a proper like makeup line.
Yeah.
But I think her makeup line has nods and hints toward Al Pacino's films. So like she might have like a fragrance called Scent of a Woman. Right?
Yeah, that it's most likely a possibility that that is in her fragrance line. Oh my God, that's really funny. And she has a Halloween makeup line called Scarface.
Oh, see, I like
so
that.
So prosthetics.
Prosthetics
yep.
and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I really like that. And I do feel like maybe she has this like natural palette of like natural colors that's not super bright, but just all kinds of neutrals, probably called Dog Day Afternoon.
Mm.
I like that. She definitely has like a red palette, like mm-hmm. a red eyeshadow palette called Devil's Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
Well, I think whenever things go on sale, it's two for the money.
Oh, there you go. So that's the name of the sale.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
That's
a
the
lot.
End of season sale, two for the money.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, I think we've done our due diligence here as incredible Al Pacino fans in bringing this queen.
Sure, sure. Yeah, incredible Al Pacino fan. Right.
We're the moderators of the fan club on
exactly.
Reddit.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's also not forget that Al Pacino was in the movie Geely.
Oh.
That's right. Oh. With Ben Affleck.
Perhaps he's the cause of the second divorce
maybe
now.
He is. Yeah.
What does she sing?
I don't know that she's a lip syncer.
Okay.
I think she's just like a YouTube
sensation.
Makeup queen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take it.
Yeah, definitely.
And obviously her merch is makeup. We don't have to stretch that.
Her merch is makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
L'Oreal Pacino.
Okay. So we have finally made it to the top of the scree, and we can actually see. I remember the moment we walked from this scree into this what felt like an open field.
Yeah.
And then you could feel the incline start to happen finally.
Right. It was also kind of weird here because it was like they were all very short trees that felt
yeah.
like someone had just planted shrubs up here.
Yeah.
Like they were not mature at all. Like you kind of meandered through them a la Fields of Gold
right.
via Sting. At this point, the trail is narrow, but it keeps going with way more decline.
We're very, very, very tired at this point, but we are flying down this incline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is one of the faster things we've ever done as far as the decline goes.
Right. But I think at this point, our feet were just barely holding on.
Oh, yeah. And also motivated by Frosties and French fries.
That's the only
entirely
thing.
Mm-hmm. The only thing.
So we end up eventually back in a forest. It's not at least initially as kind of deep as the forest that we had started in. But we are clearly headed back down into that range where forest level is growing. We're subalpine, I guess I would say,
right.
at that point. So we're getting more trees.
That's right. So to give a little perspective of mileage, when we were up at the top at the end of that scree, we were about maybe like 9.7 miles
mm-hmm.
in total. And so we were like, oh my gosh, we only have to get to 12.2 and then we're at the end of this trail, right? So we're talking less than 3 to go from here to the car.
Yeah.
All on decline. We're feeling good about it.
Sure.
Feeling great. And we're making our way through the forest. We're exhausted, but we're motivated by the fact that it's not that long. Right. And then soon we're going to be able to go get
frost. It's also much softer here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Softer earth. We're in shade now. We were basically very exposed from the entire time we left the forest coming up the Lake Angeles Trail to basically this time of diving back in. So it was nice to have the relief there of being back in like a shaded area.
So we run into these two hikers. They look like father-daughter, perhaps. They also did not look terribly prepared for a hike.
No.
It was literally just like sneakers and a water bottle. And here's the deal. Sometimes people are just like, I'm going to go on this trail for a little bit and then turn around and go back, right? But they were really looking for an overlook, which means they would have had to do all of the decline that we're doing in reverse and do incline all the way up to
the top where the scree was, at least, yeah.
And they asked us, they were like, we're looking for an overlook. And we were like, well, we haven't seen one unless it's up at the top, which is like, you got a lot further to go.
Yeah, and here, let's be also transparent. We have come down a lot. We have declined
very fast,
very quickly, and if either of us had left something up there, I would have just been like, let the elements take it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't, my bag is there with everything I needed. I don't care. The idea of climbing back up at this point was horrific to me.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, yeah, we don't really have a lot of time. And I was like,
well, you're probably not going to make it.
Right.
What we did notice was that the younger hiker, she was wearing an Ocean Grove, New Jersey t-shirt.
Right.
Which is not far from where you live.
Right.
So that's how we started a conversation. So we keep going, and very quickly we're just like mad and ready to be off this trail.
Yeah.
We are so mad.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I just think my feet were at a point of like no return.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was also looking forward to the sneakers that I had waiting for me in the car and the new pair of socks.
So then we run into another hiker. And we were like, how long is it until we get to the parking lot? And she was super cool and was like, it's less than 10 minutes.
Right.
It's like right there.
Because we had, at this point, we were now in flatter. We'd sort of come off of all of our decline. We had dipped into like the flatter part of the forest that we didn't really even get when we started the trail on the other side. We pretty much were like right into incline. There's a little bit of flatness
here. That's right. And as we're walking, we notice the pedometer finally says 12.2 miles.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, great. And then 12.2 miles comes and goes.
Which is supposed to be the total distance of the trail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The total distance of this loop is 12.2. And it comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, we're not here at the parking lot yet. It gets all the way to 13 and we're still not at the parking lot yet.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about this?
Mad.
Oh, yeah. At this point, I was like,
so
why
mad.
Is this such a torture? Like, this was supposed to be this long, and now it's even longer than that. Then finally, we turn a corner, and through the trees, we can see a small field, and we can see the tops of some cars, and I've never felt more relief.
Yeah, there was definitely like, oh, my God, we're almost there. We are so close, and it truly felt like I think we were at delirium point here, so I'm really glad that it was only a little longer until we hit the parking lot.
Yeah, we were in full delirium because we returned to the car and collapsed.
Yeah, we were like, oh, I wonder if we'll see those hikers that we saw at the juncture. And we did not.
No, but you know who did come out was the dad and the daughter and the woman who ended up all being one family.
Right.
But at the end of it, the pedometer said 13.3 miles. So we just do want to say, and we know other people who have done this hike too, have also reported back that it is closer to 13.3 than actually 12.2, which is what is reported on the map.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. All right. So this is what we'll do. We'll put the Heather Park Trail on the Karen Stone scale.
Great.
And then we will put this entire loop on the Karen Stone scale.
Great.
Okay, so Heather Park, which includes the long sweeping valley up the switchbacks, up and down the ridge up to the scree, and then decline all the way down to the parking lot. Nine?
Yeah,
it's got to be a nine.
It's absolutely a nine.
I would do this again.
Oh, I would
totally do this again. Like, I would do this whole loop again. I loved this loop.
It's definitely one, having done it, it feels like you can be more mentally prepared for it now on a second time around. I will say that my big comparison of this hike is to South Rim. There are a lot of things that I even conflate with scenery because there are some similar kind of vantage points that are happening.
And South Rim, you mean the South Rim Trail and Big Bend National Park.
I do. Thank you for clarifying. But I do feel like Heather Park feels like Pinnacles to me a little bit.
Oh.
I have associated.
Oh, she said the trigger word. Pinnacles Trail from
Big Bend National Park. Because we were both delirious there, yeah, too. And it was about, these are very similar length trips.
Like very similar
Big
loops.
Bend, I'm pretty sure South Rim was around 13 as well.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, elevation-wise, I don't know off the top of my head how they compare, but I do feel like, yes.
I think we got more elevation here in Klahani Ridge because the Olympics are so tall.
So are we rating the whole loop now?
We're 18 out of 20.
Okay.
Just for Heather Park. Now let's do the whole loop. Consider the entire loop.
I still think it's a 9 for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I still think like in total, because what do we say? I think one of us said 7 or 8 for the first part.
Yeah. You'll have to go to Klahani Ridge Part 1 to hear.
So yeah. I feel like it's doable, but it's hard, and it didn't feel like it wasn't Mount Eleanor hard for me. Mm. And that sort of I kind of set the bar of my 10 at that for this entire park, even though it's not necessarily in the national park, it's right there. So yeah, 9 is my answer for the whole thing. What about you?
I recognize that the different numbers I gave, I'm giving it a 9.5.
Okay.
I'm giving it a 9.5. So we're talking 18.5 out of 20 in total, but you have to do Lake Angeles, which is like deeply difficult to start a day with.
Yeah.
Like doing that Lake Angeles trail alone up to that lake is plenty to do.
Right.
And then it's like, well, let's make it even harder by doing the Klahani Ridge Trail all the way up to like the overlook of the lake and then onto the ridge. On the ridge is not so bad.
No, it's flatter
and
there.
And then you do the long sweeping valley, and then you got to go up those switchbacks and then do all that stuff on the other side of that ridge. And then that decline, that's like, the decline was tough.
Yeah.
But I do maintain that doing it clockwise was the better call. I don't know that I would want to do it counterclockwise.
No.
Because the incline on the Heather Park Trail, well, first of all, I would not want to do those switchbacks going down.
No.
That feels treacherous to me.
Even sliding down the scree.
No. That's a no for me too. So. Yeah. We maintain counterclockwise is our preferred way to do this trail.
No, it was clockwise. We did.
That's what I mean to say.
Not counterclockwise.
We maintain that clockwise is our preferred way to do this trail. And 18.5 out of 20 Karen Stones of difficulty for this one.
Yes, ma'am.
So let's end this episode like we end all of our episodes with some Jeopardy style trivia. All right, Mike, why don't you get us started today?
Wonderful. So my Jeopardy is titled Heather Family, and this is all about shrubs, trees, plants that are in the family of things known as heather.
Oh, I see. So you were inspired by the Heather Park Trail name.
Yes.
Great.
Great. So for 100, this bog plant, which loves acidic soil and lower temperatures, produces a ruby red fruit, which is often a feature of many Thanksgiving gatherings, be it canned or homemade.
What is cranberry?
Correct.
Great.
For 200, while this plant bears fruit that looks very similar to a blueberry, which is also in the heather family, their taste profile ranges from very sweet if the berries are purple or blue to very tart if they are red. Primarily grown in the Pacific Northwest, this plant's name was bestowed upon a famous literary character of Twain.
What is huckleberries?
Correct.
Great.
For 300. This plant, that in some ways resembles a holly, has a variety of uses due to its strong odor and taste. Its name refers to the fact that it keeps its leaves in the coldest season, but it has become synonymous with chewing gum.
I want to say, what is winterberry?
You're very close.
What is wintergreen?
That's correct.
Oh, great.
That's correct. Great. For 400, these shrubs, which can grow to be quite large and are commonly used in landscaping, prefer shadier spots in the yard or on the trail. They keep their oval-shaped leaves year-round, and when they bloom, they have trumpet-like flowers that can range in color, but oftentimes are shade of pink.
What are ferns?
Ferns don't flower.
Okay. I think
I will give you a hint. We saw a lot of these in New River Gorge on the Long Point Trail. We saw a lot of these when we hiked in the Pisgah National Forest. We went through tunnels of them, and they bloom. They're very common.
Oh, what are honeysuckles?
Nope. She's also a drag queen in our cavalcade, and she has a brother named Phil.
I don't know.
Who is rhododendron.
Oh, rhododendron. And Phil O'Dendron.
Yeah. Okay. And for 500, this plant found in the Southwest has a Spanish name that means little apple, as the berries produced look like tiny apples. The leaves of the plant have a ton of medical applications that were first discovered by the indigenous people of the land, but the bark is also interesting in its medicinal uses and appearance, bright red and smooth. Still stumped on the name, if you know the Spanish for apple and the ending you add to a Spanish word to make something small or cute, you've got it.
What is manzanita?
That's correct. Look at you, or our forthcoming drag queen, Mamzanita.
Mamzanita. That's it.
Yep. Good job. You did great.
All right.
Your turn.
Okay. My category is called Heathers.
See, I almost wrote a Heathers category, but I was like, he knows that better than I do, and I am not going to rain on his parade.
This has nothing to do with the film Heathers.
Okay.
This is just...
all about plants in the Heather family.
It's all about plants in the Heather family. Yeah. No, it's all about actresses named Heather.
Great.
And so you're not always naming them. You might be naming a project that they did.
Okay.
Okay, for 100. While we know Heather Burns for iconically playing Cheryl in Miss Congeniality, who... iconically answered the question, what's your idea of a perfect date, by saying April 25th, because it's not too hot and it's not too cold, all you need is the light jacket. She also played Christina, a bookshop employee for Kathleen Kelly, in this Nora Ephron film that famously reunited Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks.
What is You've Got Mail?
That is correct. For 200, after bursting onto the screen as the star of Welcome to the Dollhouse, Heather Matarazzo played the best friend with her own cable show in this San Francisco set film that also allowed Anne Hathaway to burst onto the screen. The movie that gave us Anne Hathaway.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Anne Heche for a minute.
Anne Heche.
What is The Princess Diaries?
Correct. Uh-huh. For 300.
It's like Anne Heche.
Chock full of cameo appearances, the film The First Wives Club has a perfect cameo from this Heather, who appears early in the film at Cynthia's funeral as Gil Griffin's new girlfriend.
Who is Heather Locklear.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Famously from...
You don't know what she's feeling. What he's feeling.
Melrose Place. Mm-hmm. For 400, this actress has had quite a career, but is probably most known for her work in Boogie Nights and Austin Powers' The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Who is Heather Graham?
Correct. And for 500.
Heather Graham Cracker.
There you go. A former dancer for Beyoncé, Heather Morris was hired for one day to teach the cast of this teen musical comedy produced by Ryan Murphy how to do the single ladies dance before being permanently written into the show as a cheerleader named Brittany.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
What is Glee?
Correct.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
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 Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sclios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.